Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Maitreya program. Today, we would like to start with an article from the October 2019 issue of Share International magazine titled Accessing the Higher Sea. And it's an interview with Phyllis Crystal by Dunya Mula. Phyllis Crystal was born in London in 1914. She graduated from university in education and taught at high school level for 3 years before moving to the United States. In 2004, at the age of 91, she moved to Munich in Germany and at the age of 95, moved again to Zurich in Switzerland. In December 2016, she died at the age of 102 in England. In the late 1950s, Mrs. Crystal and a close friend embarked on an experiment to make regular contact with an inner source of wisdom, which they called the higher consciousness, short form High C. Since then, by consulting the High C, a visualization method involving the use of symbols has evolved. These techniques can be used to help those who wish to be released from attachment to any outer security or control, thereby freeing the individual to seek help and guidance from a higher source rather than from these outer sources.
Phyllis Crystal gave seminars in many countries to share the method. Her first book, Cutting the Ties That Bind, was published in 1982, followed by Cutting More Ties That Bind. A workbook to accompany these two books was also published. Her other books include Sai Baba, The Ultimate Experience, an account of her experiences with the Indian master Sri Sathya Sai Baba, to whom she was very dedicated. Phyllis Crystal stresses that this is not a quick fix method. Help is possible only if each person is willing to concentrate on bringing about the necessary changes and growth in him or herself instead of trying in vain to change someone else. Dunya Mula met Mrs. Crystal on an intensive teaching course in June 2013 and interviewed her for Share International.
For more than 50 years, you have developed a method where people can become free from old habits and painful experiences from the past. Can you please explain how this method works? We have been given a method with which we can release ourselves from the control of anything or anyone. If we are really honest and look at our life, we will see that not only other people or memories or habits control us, but we also control other people. So the first thing that was given to us was the figure eight, where each person occupies his, her own circle, and the two together form the figure eight. We practice this figure eight to temporarily stop the control of either one over the other. And it works so well. Children particularly adore it. So many children these days are suffering from problems, even in kindergarten, where other children are very aggressive. They find when they do the figure eight, with themselves in one circle and the other child in the other, the aggression stops. That, in a nutshell, is how we began it.
Another question, and how did you come up with this method? And she says, a friend of mine and I were having lunch one day and chatting about our lives as we were housewives and mothers. In those days, of course, we were not allowed to work. It was not the fashion, although we had both graduated from university. We thought there must be something more than just these two roles. And we discovered that sometimes when we had a problem and we tried our best with our conscious mind to solve it, we just couldn't find a solution. But then something, or sometimes when we get exasperated and let it go and said it's hopeless, we would either have a dream that night with the answer or we woke up the next morning with a very clear answer. So we decided that there must be some part of our mind that had the answers and we wanted to get in touch with it. We met quiet regularly, first to tune in to whatever this other part of our mind was. We vaguely knew about the subconscious mind, the conscious mind, and superconscious mind. We tried to reach the superconscious, which we were only vaguely aware of, and it worked. That's how the method started and how we were taught.
The visualization exercises you describe in your book sound quite easy. In some of your seminars, participants share their experiences about how the method has changed their lives and even solved deep traumas from their childhood. What is the mechanism that works between these simple visualization and the deep underlying healing that is obviously going on? And Phyllis Crystal's reply, it has to be in very simple steps, exactly the way it was given to us, small steps at a time. And first, we were shown how to do the figure eight. Then we were shown that our parents are always the ones who controlled us at certain stages. We were referred back to the old puberty rituals, which ancient peoples were smart enough to put the young people through when they reached puberty. They took the girls to what they called a longhouse and the boys to another longhouse. Then the wise woman taught the girls and the wise men taught the boys how to be independent from their parents and become successful and free members of the group. In some parts of the world, people still practice this.
Many books have been written on territorial rights because animals protect their rights. They are more mature in that way than we humans are. If you have a dog or a cat, you know that, especially when you have more than one animal. Each pet has its own place in the house, and if the other animal dares to go in that space, there is a fight. But we human beings are not aware of it. This is why we do the figure eight, to start with this method. That is described in my first book, Cutting the Ties That Bind. It is also very clearly described in the workbook. The ritual of cutting the ties that bind is quite a long one. It takes about an hour. It is very thorough, and that's where we start, cutting the ties with our parents, then with other people in our lives who control us. The second book, Cutting More Ties and Bind That Bind, allows us to become free from other kinds of control like habits, addictions, and all kinds of non-human factors.
In your workshops, you always recommend that participants connect to the higher consciousness at the beginning of the visualization. What do you mean by the higher C? The higher C is the soul or the spirit. The man and woman in the street finds it very hard sometimes to even think of a higher consciousness. We have a little booklet which gives about 7 or 8 of the symbols. In that booklet, I outline the fact that we have a conscious mind, which we use all day long, and a subconscious, where all our memories are stored. And then we have the superconscious, but the booklet is just about using the symbols, showing how this approach can help us. There is also a second small booklet for the readers with no background in these matters. In it, we introduce the rest of the symbols, all of which show how to connect with the higher consciousness. The higher C is our real self, that part of us which does not die when the body dies.
Another question. Once I heard you saying in the training session that this method might become the psychology of the new age. Can you tell us more about that? And she replies, you have probably heard of Sai Baba. It was he who insisted that I write books about this work. and I was certainly never going to write a book. It never occurred to me. He said, you must write a book. So I started to write in his presence when we were sitting there, and he told me to bring the manuscript back to him so that he could bless it. When the manuscript had been blessed, he told me to have it published because this method should reach as many people in the world as possible. Sai Baba explained later in another interview that this would be a method that could help people to change themselves so that together we can form a much more loving, more compassionate and cooperative world. He always called it the Golden Age and explained that there are four yugas and we are just finishing the fourth one, which is the most negative. We are entering the most positive yuga now. The method gives us the opportunity to cut the ties to negative habits or situations or whatever prevents us from fitting into the new world.
If we look at the huge number of problems in the world now, the ecological crisis, world hunger, nuclear waste and so on, does your method help to bring the world into a more balanced state? And Phyllis Crystal's reply, this method helps people to change themselves, and the world is made up of people, and so when individual human beings change in big enough numbers, that automatically will change the world, because eventually the positive forces will outnumber the negative ones, and more people will be free.
As a positive role model for so many people, you are still working so much to spread this work around the world. How can you find the energy at the age of 99 to deal with such a challenging schedule? And she simply says, only by keeping in touch with the higher sea, and because Sai Baba told me to get it to as many people in the world as possible. That is the only reason I am willing to do this. And if you want more information about Phyllis Crystal Foundation, you go to the website www.phylliscrystal.com.
And maybe we should spell that. It's PHYLLISKRYSTAL. Now, moving on to the next article, this is one by Art Durance, and it's on the theme of discipleship. And it starts, Art Durance, who lived between 1907 and 2002, was a South African author on esoteric, spiritual, occult, and religious subjects. He kindly gave Stir International magazine permission to publish articles by him as they first appeared in his book titled Bridges. They are inspiring and informative, presenting as they do a perspective which stretches from the ancient archives of the masters to our times. After man has tasted both the joys and afflictions of life in the world of matter and illusion, he begins to realize their emptiness and that they fail to satisfy some inner hunger which has been urging him along to seek physical expression. Unconsciously, he has been seeking for something indefinable during the course of many incarnations, seeking it in every possible physical, sensual, emotional, and mental experience, each individual experience contributing towards a rounding out of soul needs, the soul of whose hidden presence he has for so long remained unaware.
But at last he begins to see double and becomes aware of duality, of an inner and outer existence. He is awakening to the consciousness that, apart from the sensory life of the personality, there exists a deeper and stronger urge, an even more vital driving force. That of the inner man, the soul, who no longer craves for material satisfactions, but is unfolding in him unexpected new fields of consciousness and perception. These revelations then shed new light on his path, and new vistas are opening up to his vision, vistas of self-improvement and service to humanity. In other words, a disciple is being born.
The word disciple is used to denote all grades of workers on behalf of humanity and the hierarchy of masters, from the probationary disciple or aspirant who is tentatively beginning to feel his way up, up to including the Christ himself, the master of all the masters and the teacher alike of angels and of men, and therefore what's called the first disciple. The disciple is an individual whose whole outlook on life has been reoriented and who has radically changed his sense of values. He finds, however, that these new values do not remain stationary, but are in a constant process of adjustment to keep pace with an ever-expanding consciousness. The rate of this expansion will vary and might undergo periods of stagnation, but notwithstanding temporary intermissions, the cyclic development will continue to include ever higher and wider realms of consciousness.
Although the disciple has been concentrating on his individual effort, there will be a growing awareness that he forms an innate and intimate part of a greater whole, and that in the past undue stress has been laid on the separateness of his existence. He is becoming aware that he belongs to a group of workers with whom he should cooperate as a team, and that the focus of his attention should be changed to group work, whereby the combined individual efforts will be considerably enhanced.
As the man develops, a deeper knowledge is acquired of the self, and a more expanded consciousness is evoked of that which the self sees, hears, knows, and contacts. And the man will also increasingly make contact with this group to which he subjectively belongs and with which he is to collaborate. He will also become consciously aware of the guidance and support which he is receiving from the master.
The disciple progressively adapts himself to a new rhythm of life and discovers and enters new fields of experience. He becomes aware of the presence of an advanced group of beings functioning on subjective levels known as the hierarchy of masters, who have always cleared, or who have already cleared and paved the path from darkness to light, from the unreal to the real. And he is making every effort to prepare and qualify himself to follow this path. He finds himself in a state of transition between the old and the new concepts of being, and this frequently causes doubt and uncertainty. With growing spiritual perception, and as the soul gradually brings greater illumination to the brain via the mind, more confidence will, however, be gained, leading to more effective service to fellow men.
One of the first aspects on which the student of the ancient wisdom teachings gains a clearer insight is the constitution of man. This leads to a deeper understanding of his own nature and some conception of the extent to which he has in the past been imprisoned in the worlds of glamour and illusion. When, after further perseverance on the path, he becomes aware of the soul and the spiritual realms, his whole outlook and approach to life becomes revolutionized and a new world of endeavor opens up before him. It should always be kept in mind, however, that there is no shortcut on this road towards the light, and that every forward step will have to be carved and cleared by the disciple's own painstaking efforts, applied with the greatest persistence.
The hierarchy is responsible for the expression of the plan. The masters are, however, dependent on disciples in physical incarnation to serve as channels and instruments for bringing the subjective design into outer manifestation. Should these physical workers fail to respond or else make mistakes, this will result in temporary delays. Meanwhile, the energies which should have been utilized in this process keep on streaming forth because of the never-ending pulsations of the one life. And these might then evoke a catastrophic result by being misapplied. A great responsibility, therefore, rests on the shoulders of those disciples whose eyes have been opened and who, because of their knowledge and sensitivity, have automatically become the hierarchical servers of the outer planes. And that was first published in Share International magazine in March 1995.
We've run out of time. Thanks very much for listening, and we look forward to our next program next Friday. Love and blessings to you all.